in Christ forever. Truly one of his own
by God's grace, is that you have joy at being with him. That you have joy at the sight of him. Now, you know we don't see him, but in his word, seeing him live and speak and die and rise. Spending more and more time with him gives you joy. And this joy is promised forever. Now, the flip side. That means that something very dire might be true of you if you have no joy in seeing him. And if there is no rejoicing going on in your heart at the reading of his words and the watching of him walk and live and speak and act and die and rise, and no joy at the thought of spending time with him, you ought to be concerned. I ought to be concerned. If that's you, then this text is not a promise. It's an invitation. An invitation to come to Jesus to be satisfied. And if you won't come to Jesus for permanent joy, which is this is the only joy that is, all of your temporary joys will end. They will all end. If your joy is mainly in success, family, money, sports, even church, but not Jesus, then this is an invitation to see Jesus as the only joy that lasts forever. And again, the reason it will last forever is because he has been raised from the dead and will never die again, and he has defeated death and paved the path to heaven and an everlasting life for his own. And the joy that he gives is his joy. Joy with Christ will never die because Jesus will never die. And the joy of Jesus is indestructible. So that's the second. That's the first thing to notice, the very simple thing. Joy in Christ will last forever because he lasts forever. But there's a second simple thing. The resurrection means that you will never die. That's a simple one too. Listen again. No one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you because your joy comes from being with Jesus. And the resurrection of Jesus means that you will never die if you have been raised with Christ through faith by God's grace. You will never be cut off from him. So two things have to be true if your joy is never to be taken from you. The source of your joy has to be eternal, that's Jesus. And you have to be eternal, or live forever anyway, on into the future. You know we don't have an eternal past. We're created. The source of our joy has to be eternal, and we have to be forever. If either you or the source of your joy comes to an end, then Jesus can't keep his promise. Because your joy will be taken from you, and God is a liar. But he isn't a liar. Both things are true of the true disciple of Christ. We've already seen that the source of the Christian's joy is eternal, namely Jesus. But now let's just remind ourselves briefly of the simple biblical truth that those who are saved by God's grace in and through Christ and faith in him, that they'll live forever in him. Sometimes we just need to say that and see these verses like John 14. 18 and 19. I have three. Jesus says there, John 14, 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. That's eternal life. You also will live. Romans 6, 5 is clearer. Paul writes, for if we, that is Christians, real Christians, the ones who believe and abide, persevere to the end, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Like his? Well, he's resurrected to live forever. So will you, Christian. And one more. Back in John 10, in the I am the gate and the door and the, I'm the great shepherd and all of that. Shepherd of the sheep is actually what he says. John 10, verse 27, he says, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. So the resurrection of Jesus means that not only will he live forever as the source of our joy, but you will live forever if he is the source of your joy. One more text. Can I add a fourth? From the Lazarus episode. The dead, well, they're both dead, aren't they? The Martha and Mary and Lazarus episode, John 11. Both the Lazaruses are dead, right? You can't just say Lazarus. John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, and he will, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This is J.C. Ryle, old Anglican, I think, long dead. Quote, the resurrection of Christ ought to assure us of the certainty of the resurrection of our bodies after death. If our Master has risen from the grave, we need not doubt that his disciples shall rise again at the last day. Above all, it ought to fill our hearts with a joyful sense of the fullness of gospel salvation. And I love this little bit from Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. You'll like this. He must have had quite a sense of humor. I hope this translates. This is Spurgeon on this. He said, brothers, if the saints' sorrows are turned into joys, what are their joys? If their bitters are sweet, how sweet are their sweets? And if the finger of Christ touching the things of life can make them sweet, how sweet must Christ himself be? If he turns the water into wine, how rich must he be? And if he turns on earth our sorrows into joy, what can the joys be where there are no sorrows, but where the joys are unalloyed and undiluted and last on forever? Blessed sorrows then, blessed joys. Who would not be a believer when even his sorrows shall be turned into joys? End quote. And so I close by pointing out what is perhaps obvious by now, maybe it isn't, that these words that we have focused on are really the gospel in miniature, really the gospel in a phrase or two. You'll find these all over the Bible, but this is one. Your sorrow will turn into joy. You have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. If you have never come to him, and I never assume that everyone here, even in a small group, is a Christian. If you have never truly come to him, he invites you to come to the cross, to him, and trust in him to save you, and your sorrow will be turned into joy, not fully now, but fully one day and forever. If you have come in the past, but you have sorrow over sin and an obvious lack of joy in him, who can't say from time to time that our joy wanes and is low? Then I invite you, he invites you to come too, to come and keep coming. I'm not talking about recommitment ceremonies or signing the card again or praying the prayer again. I better just pray that every, just to make sure I'm, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Jesus' words, like in John 6:35, where he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." So come and keep coming. Keep abiding. Repent and be refreshed, and your sorrow will be turned into joy. Not the full measure now. You couldn't handle that. We couldn't handle that. But oh, the promise that it will be full and forever. So I just commend Christ to you again. With him there is no hungering, never thirst, a forever satisfaction, a forever joy in all that God is for us in Jesus Christ. If you come to him and stay with him, coming again and again and again to the bread of life. This is the power and the promise of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. Let's pray. Father, will you bless, please, your word in the lives and through the ears of these people, your people, and feed us with it and satisfy us with it and continue to show us wonderful things in your law. Incline our hearts towards you and not to the world and not to selfish gain. Unite our hearts to fear your name. And above all things, Father, keep us close to Christ and increase our joy in him. Would you do that, Father? Could you do that, Father, please, for us? Increase our joy in Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand and sing.